Grace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's about the birth of a child, right? And when a child is born, there are questions that are typically asked by various people. Parents want to know, is he healthy? How much does he weigh? Grandparents want to know, what did you name her? Who does she look like? Nurses and doctors, they want to examine closely and know, is the child alert? Are the lungs clear? They ask lots of questions. And those are the kinds of questions that you expect people to ask of a newborn child. But then there are questions that you would never expect to ask. Who would ever ask if a newborn healthy baby, when he dies, who's going to handle the funeral arrangements? What cemetery do you think we'll bury her in? What will be the cause of his death? For everything there is a season, Scripture says, and the season for asking about a person's death is typically not at their birth. One of our hymns asks a similarly unusual question. The question is about a child that was born in Bethlehem, kind of middle of nowhere town to nobody people. The question is, what child is this? It's kind of an odd question, isn't it? I mean, is that the first thing you think when you hold a newborn baby? What child is this? You know whose child and where he comes from, right? But under the circumstances, that odd question is maybe a bit fitting because this particular child was born in the most unusual way. His mother is a virgin. His birth is announced by angels who are praising God. So we ask the question, what child is this? The wonderful answer is given by the angels. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This child is no less than the Lord himself, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord whose voice cracks mountains, now coos softly in his mother's arms. The same Lord who told shepherd Moses not to come too close to the Lord's presence because it was too holy, now invites shepherds to draw near to him as he lies in a manger. The shepherd Moses had to hide his face, but now shepherds behold the Lord's face, the face of a baby. The unapproachable one is now approachable. The intimidating one is now inviting. And that really is good news. But the most important reason God's appearance in human flesh is good news of great joy is that he came to pay our bill, to pay our debt, to redeem us. The Lord of creation became part of his creation to recreate what we broke. The immortal one was born as a mortal in a specific time and place to unite himself forever with us, his mortal creatures. Think about this. What if the Lord had taken on human flesh to confront us and to demand from us payback for all of the sins we have committed against him? What if he had appeared in human flesh to scowl at us for all those times we failed to measure up to the standard he would set for us? Thanks be to God that his arrival is instead good news of great joy. The reason it's good news is that at Christ's birth, we do ask normally unthinkable questions, like, how will this child die? You see, that's why he was born. This was God's plan. In fact, this was the plan before he laid down the foundations of the earth. This is what the heavenly angels are talking about when they say his birth will bring peace on earth. This Christ will die because of us, and he will die for us. The prophet Isaiah said, to us a child is born. That was a prediction of what will be. The angel said, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Unto us, whose worldly goals conceive and give birth to worldly thoughts and ungodly living, unto us, whose sinful hearts give birth to cruel and hurtful words, even against those who would care for us most. Unto us, whose sinful natures drive us to live as though God didn't matter and we mattered more. Unto us, we sinful, messed up people, this Christ child is born. All the more reason for us to repent and rejoice for his holy birth on this holy day. But in that, don't forget to rejoice for his holy death. Already at his birth, his cross, death, and burial are foreshadowed. See the similarities. The one who had a Mary at his birth had multiple Marys at his death. The one who had a righteous Joseph at his birth had a righteous Joseph of Arimathea at his death. The one who was wrapped in cloth and laid in a manger at his birth is wrapped in cloth and laid in a tomb at his death. The one whose birth was honored by wise men bearing myrrh to a cradle, and whose death is honored by faithful women who bring myrrh to a tomb. This child is the great light that has shone on us who dwell in a land of deep darkness. At his arrival, on us, a light has shined. This is a real human child who has a real human body. His body is wrapped up and laid in a tomb, and then on the third day, his real human body comes back to life, the first fruits of the dead. When Scripture says that, it doesn't mean the first to come back to life, because many people came back to life. He's the first to come back from eternal death to eternal life and carries all of us with him. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And all of that comes in this little child. So let's do something that is normal at the birth of a child. Let's take a close look at this, the son of Mary. The prophet Isaiah said all authority would be on his little shoulders. This child used his authority to free you from hell and destruction. Look closely at this child. His lips are those of a wonderful counselor. He comforts your troubled conscience with the most wonderful counsel you could ever hear. Father, forgive them. Take a look close at this child. He has the hands of the mighty God who formed the heavens and the earth, and he sets aside that might to have his hands nailed to a cross and to extend mercy to you that comes from that cross to this table in that sacred and holy meal. You look at this child, and he has the arms of a loving heavenly Father that are spread out on a cross to draw you to himself, to wrap his arms around you in holy baptism, and to welcome you home as a prodigal son or daughter. He has the royal head of the Prince of Peace, a head that gets crowned with thorns to place on your head a crown of glory. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Today, that salvation is again extended to you as a gift from this child's altar. It's Christmas, and Jesus is giving you the greatest gift of all, his very body and blood, for the full forgiveness of all your sins. A gift that renews you for good works and inflames in you love for your heavenly Father. What an amazing and wonderful gift that is. What child is this? That's the question we've been asking throughout all of Advent. The answer is, this is the Lord who saves you. So like the various hymns say, haste, haste to bring him laud. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary, born for you. Merry Christmas. Amen.